acting with an accent. Stage dialect instruction by David A. Stern. Instructional tape number 6, The Scottish Burr. Lesson 1, creating the resonance of the Scottish dialect. Now, before we actually examine the sound changes, the vowels and consonant substitutions between the standard American and the Scottish dialects, we're first going to look at changes that take place in the overall resonance of the voice. The kinds of sound changes that we can really attribute to a general alteration in the shaping or configuration of the vocal tract. Now, this is a change that is manifested not only in a limited number of clearly defined pronunciation substitutions, but throughout the entirety of the vocal utterance. In my approach to dialect instruction, we try to find a specific point, if you like, an imaginary point, in or around the oral cavity, which represents the focal point for the vibration of the sound, the point where most of the energy of the speech seems to be concentrated. Now, in the standard American dialect, which I've just switched to, I use an imaginary point of focus, which is approximately in the middle of my mouth, halfway between the tongue and palate, and halfway or slightly more than halfway back in the cavity. If you were to, for example, open your mouth and press one finger of each hand into the hollows of your cheeks, if the cheeks were flexible enough to come together, to meet, the point where the cheeks and the fingers would meet would be what I would consider to be my imaginary point of maximum energy for the standard American dialect. Now, with the Scottish resonance, however, the point of focus is moved to an area that I consider to be underneath the tongue, actually in the cavity bordered on the top by the tongue and on the bottom by the lower gum ridge, in the area in the low part of the mouth where the tongue is attached. Exercise number 1 for the Scottish resonance, imagining the point of focus. Now, in several of the exercises I'm going to give you to establish the new Scottish resonance, we're not actually going to do any physical adjustment yet to the oral cavity, but we'll just try to imagine or will the sound downward to that new point of focus. Now, this technique works for some people in and of itself. If it's not enough in your case, then it very likely won't be for Scottish, because this is a very difficult resonance. Don't worry, because we'll be adding several exercises momentarily, which will make specific changes in the positioning of the tongue and the configuration of the whole oral cavity. The way that I work this exercise is to count numbers in groups of threes, first giving the count with the middle of the mouth American resonance focus, and you repeat it after me. Then I shift down under the tongue and count the same three numbers with that low under the tongue Scottish resonance for that dialect, and you repeat that one after me. And you only try to experience the movement of the sound down there rather than making any gross changes in the tongue or the configuration of the tract. If the movement of the tongue comes along with it, fine, but don't really think in terms of tongue movement right now. All right, let's try. Middle of the mouth, 1, 2, 3. You repeat. Now shifting down conceptually, 1, 2, 3. Back to the middle, 1, 2, 3. And shifting down under the tongue, 1, 2, 3. Now, as we move on to 4, 5, and 6, let me have you add one more phenomenon. As you imagine the energy moving to that new vibration point under the tongue, actually try to feel vibration in that area. See if you can feel a buzz on the bottom of your tongue as you make the shift to that new resonance focus.
Down at the bottom of the tongue, you should feel the resonance now.
So the phenomenon of energy exists in the middle of the mouth on the standard American
and shifts down, and you sense it down there and start to try to feel it down there on the Scottish resonance.
Once again now, back to the middle of the mouth, feeling and sensing in the middle, 4, 5, 6.
Feeling under the tongue,
4, 5, 6. Middle, 7, 8, 9. And 7, 8, 9. And now the whole series 1 to 10, both ways. First, the middle of the mouth American. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And now sensing and feeling underneath the tongue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, the second exercise for the Scottish resonance actually gives you a specific physical action in the mouth to help you experience the vibration focus down underneath the tongue. Before we go back and repeat counting exercises, however, let's first simply have you place and feel vibration under the tongue. Now, I want you first just to take the vowel ah, as in father, and sustain that sound normally, as you normally would. See if you can feel the vibration in the middle of your mouth. Say, ah, ah, ah. Don't pull it down into your throat, ah, or anything like that, or pull your mouth open, your jaw down too widely. Just feel that normal standard American vibration in the middle of the oral cavity. Ah, ah. Now, with your mouth still slightly open, lift your tongue up to the top teeth. Actually, put the bottom of your tongue tip right behind the top front teeth. Now, with the tongue in that position, do the soft, easy ah sound again. Ah, ah, ah. Again, don't pull down into your throat like this. Ah, ah. Or just keep everything loose and relaxed. And now, as you bring the tongue up to the same position, fill out the cavity below the tongue just a little bit by dropping your jaw just slightly. Don't pull your jaw down too far, but open it just slightly and see if you can feel the vibration now of that vowel down there below the tongue. Tongue tip up behind the teeth. Ah, ah, ah. Feeling the buzz on the bottom of the tongue. Ah, ah. Now let's alternate back and forth between the middle of the mouth in normal position and the sound focus under the tongue with the tip behind the top front teeth. Ah, 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 ah. Now let's do the same alternation again, but this time, instead of lifting the tongue quite so high up and touching the teeth, just lift the tongue slightly toward the teeth and bring up not just the tip, but the sides of the tongue as well. Don't reach quite as far as we were doing before. Let's alternate again. Ah, ah, still trying to feel the sound underneath. Ah, 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 ah. Now, counting again in threes, middle of the mouth focus, 1, 2, 3. Now focusing under the tongue, lifting the tongue tip and the sides slightly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6. And don't worry if you distort a little bit with the consonants right now. Just try to get that sound under the tongue. 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9. And the full series, 1 to 10, both ways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You repeat.
And under the tongue, everything we just practiced. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Now, the third exercise for Scottish resonance is primarily for those of you who have not yet begun to sense the sound shifting to the new Scottish point of focus. It really distorts the sound quite a bit. So I want you to be quite aware that what we're going to do now will have to be softened and tempered quite a bit if you're going to have intelligible speech for the stage. But if you're having trouble getting the new sound, focusing under the tongue, this exercise could be just the ticket. Now, start by taking the very front of the tongue tip, not the top or bottom of the blade, but the very tip, and touching with it the very bottom edge of your top front teeth. Now, take the edges or rim of the tongue along the sides and bring those sides up so that they also touch the bottoms of the side teeth. Your tongue should now be cupped up under the teeth, forming a small closed cavity bordered on the top by your palate and on the bottom by your tongue, and with the sides of that cavity sealed between the edges of your tongue coming up and the bottom of your tooth ridge. Now, if we do this ah now this way, it will be a very, very distorted sound because the phonated air will have a great deal of difficulty escaping from that cavity you've created. Now, in spite of that distortion, I want you to repeat the contrasting counting exercise this way. First, middle of the mouth, 1, 2, 3. Now putting the tongue up into that new position, cupped tightly under the teeth.
1, 2, 3.
You're not going to get enunciation at all. Middle, 4, 5, 6. Tongue in the new position.
4, 5, 6.
Now this time, bring your tongue up toward that position as if you were going to fully cup it under the teeth, but instead let it relax enough so that this major distortion in the sound and pronunciation doesn't take place. Okay, let it loose. Middle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And coming up this time, but not coming up quite so much or holding the tongue quite as rigidly,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's still a little distorted, but now just relax it a little more. Still bringing it basically up to that position, but relax the tongue, let it move a little more.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now, keep the tip of the tongue fairly relaxed and flexible so that you start working the articulation of the sounds in more clearly, but still leading it up toward the gum ridge, keeping everything relaxed.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
A little more relaxed still.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And now you start to get that sound under the tongue without distorting the sounds. Now, contrasting in counts of 3, middle of the mouth, 1, 2, 3. And
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6.
Keep feeling it under the tongue. 7, 8, 9. And
7, 8, 9.
And finally, contrasting with the same movement using a couple of letters, A, B, C, D, E.
I'm lifting the tongue up, A, B, C, D, E.
Now, I want to make one more statement before leaving this first lesson on the Scottish resonance.
Most of my students have responded quite well to placement of the imaginary point of resonance focus under the tongue. Now, a small group, however, have seemed to react better to a slightly different instruction. That is to place the point of focus for the Scottish not under the tongue, but high up in the mouth, very close to the hard palate, in a cavity which is bordered by the top of the raised tongue and on top with the palate, so that you experience the resonance sort of squashed up to the very top of the mouth by the tongue rather than fallen down into the cavity below the tongue. You should be able to see, however, that the very same resonance exercises that we've just done can help you generate the alternative point of focus. So after you try this lesson a few times looking for the lateral under-the-tongue resonance, if you're still having a great bit of trouble, try the same exercise, but use those exercises the second time around to generate this alternative point of focus in the cavity formed between the palate on the top and the high tongue on the bottom. Which one of these points of focus is more correct? Well, whichever one works best for you in learning the dialect. Now, the Scottish resonance is extremely important to generating authentic sounding Scottish speech. Without some degree of it, your pronunciation changes will be very stilted, very studied and fake sounding.
The degree of intensity of this resonance, however, varies enormously with location, education, and social class. Perhaps the resonance is strongest in Glasgow, where we can sometimes become so thick and squashed that the resonance itself interferes enormously with intelligibility. What I was just saying, where it becomes so thick and squashed where it interferes with intelligibility. But once you've learned your resonance, and you're really going to have to overcompensate by pronouncing sounds very clearly, especially consonants, in order to be understood from the stage. But we'll discuss that later when we're dealing with levels of the dialect. For now, that's the end of Lesson 1 on the resonance of the Scottish dialect. Lesson 2, pronunciation changes related to the Scottish resonance. We're going to look now at vowel substitutions between General American and Scottish, which grew out of the resonance work that we've just been doing, that integrate right into this under-the-tongue resonance. The new position that the tongue will have to take to get the Scottish vowels is often very similar to, or quite influenced by, the type of tongue movement we've just been working with to get the resonance. So here, I'll ask you not to think of learning isolated changes in pronunciation, but rather to think very definitely of extending these new sounds out of the resonance that we are working with. All right. The first of these sound changes is the American sound uh, as in book, which changes in Scottish to the harder, the tenser u, as in book or should. Now, listen how, without the resonance, it sounds very fake. Book, should. With the resonance, though, book, should. And with that change, you get a much more organic, authentic-sounding book, should kind of sound. Okay, let's try it as we did on the counting, alternating. Word list, bookcase, bookcase, could, could, stood, stewed, hook, hook, footwear, footwear. Sentences, B. I understood there was a good book in the neighborhood library. I understood there was a good book in the neighborhood library. C. Brooks didn't like to be hoodwinked from the pulpit by Reverend Cook. Brooks didn't like to be hoodwinked from the pulpit by Reverend Cook. Now, the second of the Scottish vowel changes ends up with the same oo sound that we just had from the u vowel, but this one begins with the ow diphthong, as in shout, and also intensifies to oo, as in shoot, shoot. Again, you must let this sound grow out of the resonance. Without it, you'll get a very stilted shoot, shoot, or shoot instead of shoot, shoot, shoot. Now, with the Scottish resonance, you may even find that the vowel migrating a little bit toward an O. It's a sound shoot, shoot. I would suggest, however, that you go as much with the oo sound as you can, but temper it with the resonance underneath the tongue. Word list, A. Sow, so, town, tone, count, count, doubt, dote, cloud, cloud. B. Even the proud bow down around the count. Even the proud bow down around the count. C. The sow, the mouse, and the cow sounded a rousing medley. The sow, the mouse, and the cow sounded a rousing medley. sometimes for intelligibility purposes, you might want to soften even this change and not go quite as far and do the sow, the cow, and the mouse, so that you have a little bit of the sense of the diphthong left in it. The last of the pronunciation changes which are good to look at in conjunction with the resonance, surprisingly, is not a vowel most of the time, but is the R, whether it exists at the beginning, middle, or end of a word, whether it's an initial consonant or a continuation of a vowel, as in the ER, ur. The Scottish R, in almost all forms of Scottish speech, is rolled. Now, the rolled or bird R comes very naturally to most people who can trill the tip of their tongue and go brrrr without even thinking about it. Now, teaching someone who cannot do a frontal trilled rolling R is the bane of the existence of every dialect or foreign language teacher. My guess is that most of you can already do it. If you can, just do the exercises and the sentences for practice. My only caution to you is to make sure that in Scottish that the trill is coming from the tip of the tongue, brrr, and not from the uvula, rrr, as it does in German and some other languages and dialects. Now, I'll spend a little bit of time in this lesson working with those of you who can't do a frontal trill. I make no guarantees, however. This is one which ultimately you're going to have to fool around with and try to develop on your own. Now, this sound is difficult, because part of the tongue has to be held very loosely and relaxed, while other muscles in the tongue have to work to position the tongue correctly. Let's start by simply saying a simple without rolling it. You do it. Sustain it. Keep the tip of the tongue relaxed. And now, as you're keeping the tip of the tongue relaxed on the start lifting that tongue tip up and slapping it back against the palate. You might even start with an instead of an keeping the tip very loose and slapping it back. Now try sticking the tongue slightly out of the mouth and slapping it back against the gum ridge or hard palate. Keep the front of the tongue very loose and use the muscles in the back of the tongue to pull it back in and slap it into the mouth against the palate. Start with the tongue sticking out slightly in between, resting on the bottom teeth. Pulling it back in. And trying to slap it back against the palate. This time start with a B sound. Stick your tongue out and close your lips over the tongue. Hold the tongue between the two teeth. And then slap it back in. Again, keeping it very loose in front and trying to get that trill. Now, there's one other little trick which has been somewhat successful with a lot of my students who couldn't do the bird R, and it might work for you. Make the following combinations of sounds now. Say gutter. Try that. Gutter. Say it very quickly. Gutter. Now, get a nice supported breath, because you're going to puff out a lot of air, and say gutter, slapping your tongue into your mouth and against the palate. Gutter. Now, with that supported breath, really increase the amount of air that you're puffing out, and you might get a trill. Gutter. Still keep the front of that tongue nice and relaxed. Now, let's add some additional ERs to the end, going gutter, and see whether or not you can start to generate that. Now, if you can get even one slap or one trill, then you'll still be able to give a fairly authentic rendition of the Scottish R, because it's not always necessary to trill the R out for any sustained duration. You can just do it for duration, with one tap. In much of Scottish speech, the single tap, like the British tap for a medial R between two vowels. No, the single tap will suffice quite frequently. Well, so move into words and sentences containing R's in all different positions. I think you'll see quite clearly why this sound is related to the Scottish resonance we worked on so hard. The tongue tip has to go up just as far in the mouth as it does to create the rolled R. You have to do that same rise of the tongue to create the resonance. Now, what we're going to do is go on and do a couple of words and sentences working R's in different situations. Okay, let's do the rolled R in the initial position, alternating as we did before. Rose, ruse. Republic, republic. Roll, roll. Round, round. Now, the medial ER, as in the word first, the er there. Now, this one can be done several different ways. Let's do it initially just with the trill. First, first. Worst, worst. Worm, worm. Hurt, hurt. Now, sometimes this pronunciation changes in Scottish, and you have not first, but first, first, with an, almost an ear sound. Let's try those. First, worst, worm, hair. And sometimes you have pronunciation almost like air, worst. So, first, worst, worm, hurt. Sometimes you'll even have an R sound there. Worst, first, warm, hard. You can do basically whichever one you like. For the most part, I would say just go first, first, and trill the R, and you'll be perfectly authentic sounding. Now, the medial R, in combination with different vowels. Harbinger, harbinger. Married, married. Mirror, mirror. Horror, horror. Arrow, arrow. Now, when the trilled R comes immediately before M or N or L, you'll sometimes have an intrusive schwa sound so that you have not world, world, but world, world. We have the extra coming in. Let's try a few of those. World, world. Girl, girl. Germ, germ. Worm, worm. Churn, churn. Stern, stern. Thought I got my name in there. Okay. In final position, the final ER. Mother, mother. Father, father. Bear, bear. There, there. And some, this isn't just the ER, these are some other final vowels before the R. Far, far. Store, store. Now we'll just look at a couple of sentences to finish up this Scottish R. The early bird catches the earliest worm. The early bird catches the earliest worm. The burglar and his helper were caught because they stirred up such a clamor. The burglar and his helper were caught because they stirred up such a clamor. Be sincere, my dear, it's a queer world. Be sincere, my dear, it's a queer world. The red, red rose rested in the earth for the first year. The red, red rose rested in the earth for the first year. Now, as you get different intensities of Scottish, you're going to have different amounts of rule on the R. Sometimes you'll just say, the red, red rose rested in the earth for the first year. And sometimes you'll really go at it, the red, red rose rested in the earth for the first year. And you and your director will have to decide how much of a trill you need. But for now, this is the end of the lesson on the sound changes integrated into the resonance of the Scottish burr.